Heavenly Father, may we grow closer to you by having a deeper understanding of your word. Be with us now this morning. Amen. Good morning, everybody. This morning I'm going to continue the sermon series, as Ruin said, talking about women in the messianic line. Phil and Matt and Anthony have given us excellent insight into some of the women identified on that very long genealogical passage at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. The character that I want to talk about isn't even mentioned by her own name. However, we may judge her whatever way we feel. She's still the woman, though, chosen by God to be the ancestral mother of his son, Jesus Christ. So for just a little background on the story we heard in 2 Samuel, the time is the reign of King David, around about 1000 BC. He was about 30 when he came to reign, and he reigned for about 40 years, we're told. This woman that I'm going to talk about was the granddaughter of Ahithophel, a shrewd military political counsellor of King David, and the daughter of Eliam, a name meaning God is my kinsman, a man thought to be valued and trusted soldier of the king. She was raised in an elite warrior family of devout Jews. She was probably as highly educated in God's law as any Jewish girl could be at the time, possibly enjoying unparalleled privilege of social and economic status. Her father would have been very careful who he chose for his daughter to marry. Marriages weren't arranged via dating apps in those times, so we're told that he made the wise choice of Uriah the Hittite for her husband, one of 30 commanders of the 30 bands into which the Israelite army was divided. He would have been a foreigner who'd adopted the Jewish religion, but had then become one of David's special guard. Just excuse me 1 minute. Okay, this is Bathsheba. She's a little worse for wear, as you can see. Getting her into the back of the car was quite a challenge. I'd like you to think about, though, who is Bathsheba and what was she really like? It's been difficult for me to study her without digging deep into the thoughts and actions of King David and getting influenced by his mighty actions and overwhelming reputation. We aren't told anywhere in the story whether she knew King David before her involvement with him, but it's thought that the two might have met. It might have been likely at some point they'd met at some level. I've looked at what we know about Bathsheba, firstly, from the text we read this morning, and then I've looked at the second chapter, in chapter 12, which comes after our story. So what do you think of Bathsheba? Not this one, you know, the real one I'm talking about. Have you already made up your mind about what she was like? Was she a bit of a floozy? That's my grand term. I hope you know what it means. Would say, or a manipulative woman. It's so easy to fall into the idea that she was the bathtub temptress. Probably not with this towel, but there you go. And as some scholars would have us believe, the one who led the great King David astray. What do you think? Was she the scandalous one who attracted him? Maybe not wearing these clothes, but maybe not. We see. Was she tantalising and manipulating him with her beauty and her tempting him with when he looked out to see her bathing? David's palace would have commanded a view of over the rooftops, as there was no drainage system inside the houses, so bathing would have been quite normal to do so. Since knowing that I was going to talk to her, I've kind of got to know Bathsheba quite well, I feel. And when I was thinking about bringing the body of Bathsheba, I went into a shop yesterday to try and get a black wig. The lady was very helpful. She gave me... as a student, I had a poster on my wall, long ago but not forgotten, and it says, before you judge somebody else, stop and think about all that God has forgiven you for. Her reputation has been embroiled in controversy. Scholars have described her as a seductress and as a conniving political opportunist. I'd like to think about her in a slightly more sympathetic way if we can. No comments about her fashion sense here, though. But are you the kind of person whose mind is made up as to what people are before you really know the full picture? I'm sure we've all made rash judgments about others before we really get to know the full facts. Mother Teresa said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. So do you judge people without seeing the full extent of what's happened in their lives, what's influenced them, or really knowing what makes them tick, if you know what I mean? It was slightly unusual that David was home and he hadn't gone off to war in the story. It made me think that so many times being in the wrong place at the wrong time can lead us down paths that we may not necessarily have chosen to go down had we been rational about it all. We then hear how Bathsheba was brought to David after he sent for her, and after laying with him, she became pregnant. I wonder how Bathsheba felt about that. I didn't go into the pregnancy bit. I thought that was best left alone on that. So was she a willing participant in the event which led to the pregnancy? Was she angry? Was she willing to be with David? And what about her family? What did they think? Did she really have any choice when he was the king? She maybe felt powerless to refuse him. After the event, I'm sure she must have recognised David's deceit. David, then, like so many of us who've done something we know fundamentally to be wrong, or we realise after the event that it's fundamentally wrong, he went through a set of events to try and cover up his actions. He invited Uriah home for a time, hoping the man of great integrity would have relations with his wife. But it seems that Uriah was a greater man than David and refused such a luxury. As a result, David's sin became further by penning instructions for Uriah's accidental death on the battlefield. Not only had she committed adultery, but she was now impacted by the subsequent death of her husband. Sin had opened the door for havoc in her life. I wonder whether she was involved in the murder plot. There's no evidence to say that she was. Maybe she didn't know anything about it. Was she angry, as she might well have been? Was she in agreement over the actions David took? Had she been happy with her husband? It appears, as we go on, that David took responsibility for his actions. And it appears also that Bathsheba suffered in silence. We do know that in verse 26, she sadly mourned her husband, and many of us can sympathise with the heaviness and desperation of grief she must have felt. In chapter 12, the one that we haven't read this morning, we hear all sorts of things too. It appears that David then married Bathsheba, comforted her. All seems calm until the arrival of the prophet Nathan, who exposes the story. More grief for Bathsheba. Then as she loses her baby, The baby that she conceived in the adulterous affair sadly dies too. So she's dealing with two deaths. At this point, David sees himself for the sinner that he is. Ultimately, God was at work. And Bathsheba was the chosen one in many ways. In verse 24, we hear that Bathsheba, when entering into marriage with David, post-adultery, became pregnant. And she later gave birth to Solomon, who was specially loved by God. She became the mother of a future king and saw fit to redeem the story, extending his love towards the child. David was forced to keep his word, crowning Solomon as a king, despite another son of David claiming underhandedly the right of kingship. The rest is history. Ultimately, Jesus was born through David and Bathsheba's lineage. She has the distinction of being related to the Messiah and is depicted eventually as a more honourable woman. So to conclude, there's good news here. The good news for us all that no matter what we conclude about the actions or fate of our dear friend Bathsheba in the story, all our sins that you and I have committed in the past, no matter where we've been or what we've done, can be forgiven, and God can give us a fresh start. He takes the messy and makes something stunning from it. He knows all of our faults and all of our failings. In Matthew's words in chapter 7, the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you are judged. When we turn back to God in repentance, just as Bathsheba and David did, and ask for his forgiveness, God's mercy reaches out with the message of love. We heard from Mark's Gospel reading this morning that Jesus tells that he had to come to eat with sinners. And from Paul's letter to the Colossians, we heard the words, "The Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." In the words of Martin Luther, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Bathsheba was a woman who received unlimited grace. We too can share in God's love and be blessed by his grace. Amen.